Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land-Grant University at Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of October 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, Dan O'Brien of Kansas State Extension will join us to take a look at the agricultural energies. And as we close out our half hour together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll take a more in-depth look at the World Health Organization's white paper research study on those 800 studies as they relate to cancer in red meat and processed meat. It doesn't quite say what you may be thinking it says about red meat. I'll tell you more during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the way the numbers finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon. December contract at $3.80, and the corn pit down 4.5. The March down 3.75 at 3.89 3/4. May corn at 3.96, 3.5 lower. July down 3 at $4.75. September 2.25 lower at 3.99, and December of next year at 4.05 3/4, 2.25 lower. Soy complex November beans up 6.25, $8.91 1/4. The final trade on the day, January at 8.91, up 6.5. The March up 6.75 at 8.93.5, and May soybeans at $8.97 3/4, 6.5 cents higher. Next year's November up 5.25. They finished at $8.91 3/4. Bean meal up $2.50 at $3.04.70. Bean oil at $27.89, settled 11 cents higher. December soft red winter wheat a quarter higher at $5.09 1/4. July down 3/4 at $5.20.5. The hard red July, 5.23.5, down 4 cents. Live cattle futures from Chicago down 57.5 cents at $138.97.5 in the October. December 4 lower, rather 4.40 lower at $141.60. Feeder cattle futures 65 cents lower at $193.25. Then November at $189 even. They're down $2.22.5. And the lean hogs for the day, $1.80 lower at $61.05 at this hour. On their trade in February, down $1.27.5 at $64.50. The closing market report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online where at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Have you picked up your tickets yet for our Farm Assets Conference? I sure do hope so, but if not, you can do it in one of two ways. Go to farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. Both of those places have a link to the online version where you can just pick your ticket up for $30. The online version tells you all about the details of the Farm Assets Conference, including the date, the day, and the time. We start around 10:30 in the morning. We'll run to about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The annual meeting of the Corn Growers precedes us there at the Marriott Hotel in Normal, Illinois on the 24th day of November. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. The cost is just $30. Get your tickets online, willag.org or farmassetsconference.com, or you can dial this number to 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Lots of great things happening for the day. Tell you more about that in just a bit. Now, here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area for the rest of the day. Showers, 56 degrees. Tonight, showers, thunderstorms, those all end or become back after 8 p.m. Low of 53. And then tomorrow, more showers and thunderstorms before 8 in the morning. A chance of showers afterwards. A high of 61 degrees. Breezy tomorrow with a southwest wind at 9 to 14. We could gust all the way to 30. Chance of precipitation tomorrow has been moved up from 60% earlier today to 80% at this time. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the 27th day of October. Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, joins us to take a look at what happened in Chicago for the afternoon. Thanks, Wayne, for being with us. I think there are some outside things that probably are as important as what's been happening in Chicago. We'll talk more about the WHO and the red meat release that came out yesterday in our feature section in about 10 minutes, but there's also some information and news about crop insurance. What's new there?
Well, the budget deal is supposedly containing a $3 billion cut to the crop insurance subsidies, which really amounts to a lot to the farmer here now. That could raise his insurance costs. When we say 10%, that actually doubles because it's generally half of that, so it doubles, and it could cost them 20% more for crop insurance. Everybody is urging everybody to call their representatives and senators and tell them put that, get that back out of this budget deal. It seems like the House wants to do it, and that I don't know what that would cause them to reopen the 2014 Farm Bill, which seemed to take forever to get one done, and it would be very harmful, especially in this time of a lot tighter incomes from the farmer, to be raising another input cost for them.
It seems I have my work cut out for me. I'll have to get busy and talk to the ag policy specialist here to see what they have to say about those numbers and what they mean. Thanks for keeping us up to date there. What happened in Chicago for the day?
Well, we sort of turned things around. The first thing was, of course, we were told that the wheat commitment of traders on Friday was a lot larger short than we thought, and had a big trade yesterday on that, I think 165,000 contracts, and we thought that would knock the open interest down. It didn't seem to do it that much, so a lot of people are mystified about that, and saw a little bit of a setback there. As far as the beans, we sold them off pretty hard yesterday. We bounced them back today. We rallied pretty strong in the corn, and I think that, we took off about everything we put on yesterday. Just getting back down there, we saw some really good basis levels here over in the east, and I think we did see a little movement out of that, and that 390 on the March corn was, beckoned a few more pricing opportunities out there where the farmers were maybe taking advantage of.
Looking forward for the rest of the week, what are your expectations?
I think we're going to see sort of a choppy trade. We're going to watch and see if the rain develops in Russia and Ukraine, and see what it does down in Brazil. But I think we got pretty good support under the market here. We've got pretty heavy resistance above it, so I think it's going to be a choppy week.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much for being with us and keeping us up to speed.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, and he will be one of our panelists, along with Jerry Golke and Sue Martin, Jackie Vakes, Mike Zuzlow, and many others at our Farm Assets Conference to be held Tuesday, November the 24th. At the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal, Illinois. This is our second annual event. It's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving. The cost is just $30. You get all of them, plus a whole bunch more. We'll talk about big data with the folks from FieldView, CropCorp, and or WeatherCorp and Monsanto, along with what's been happening with land values, that with Bruce Sherrick. He's at the Center for Farmland Investment here on the Urbana-Champaign campus. Gary Schnittke will be there too. The Farm Assets Conference is just $30. You can dial in right now for your ticket at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. Go online at farmassetsconference.com. Let's get a quick review of crop progress and harvest conditions across the Midwest from the state statistician. 75% of the corn crop has been harvested, by the way. That compares to 68% nationwide. 87% of the soybeans are in the bin. Nationwide, the rolling five-year average is 80%. Speaking of the 80% level, 83% of the wheat has been sown across the nation compared to the rolling five-year average of 85%. 62% of that wheat is up and growing, and that's the same as the five-year average. The condition of the crop is 37% good, 10% excellent. That compares to last year at 50% good and 9% excellent. This is the first week for ratings for the winter wheat crop. Now here are the state statisticians.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 25th, 2015. Harvest activities continued rapidly early in the week, but slowed down Friday due to rain. Statewide, there were 5.4 days suitable for fieldwork, down 1.5 days from the previous week. Iowa farmers were still able to harvest one-fifth of the state's corn crop this week. Field work activities for the week included harvesting corn for grain, harvesting soybeans, fall tillage, tiling, terracing, seeding cover crops, and applying dry fertilizer. Other activities included chopping and baling corn stalks, as well as manure hauling and spreading. Widespread rain returned to Iowa for the first time since September 29th. Greatest rain totals for the week occurred in northwest and east central Iowa, with 2.76 inches at Sheldon and 2.25 inches at Iowa City. Soil temperatures as of Sunday were averaging near 50 degrees across northern Iowa to the mid-50s over the south central and southeastern portions of the state. 73% of the corn crop for grain has been harvested, 12 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Moisture content of all corn being harvested was at 16%, down 1 percentage point from the previous week, with scattered reports of grain coming out of the field and going straight into the bin. 92% of the soybean crop has been harvested, 9 days ahead of last year and 2 days ahead of normal. Harvest progress of both corn and soybean in southwest and south central Iowa continued to lag behind the rest of the state. Grain movement from the farm to elevator was rated 9% none, 24% light, 43% moderate, and 24% heavy. Off-farm grain storage availability rated 21% short, 75% adequate, and 4% surplus. On-farm grain storage availability rated 28% short, 68% adequate, and 4% surplus. Pasture condition rated 56% good to excellent. Livestock conditions were described as excellent, with reports of some cattle being turned out to graze on corn stalks. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Some rain fell on Illinois cropland last week, but the accumulation was less than average for most places in the state. The average rainfall across Illinois was 0.3 inches, less than half of normal precip for the week. Temperatures were nearly 8 degrees above normal. Corn harvest is now 93% complete across the state. That compares to 57% last year at this time and 79% for the five-year average. The northwestern district of Illinois is only 79% harvested, but all other parts of the state are above 90% finished with corn harvest. Soybean harvest is also 93% complete, well above last year's 59% and the five-year average of 82%. The southernmost districts in Illinois are at 82% and 83% complete, but the rest of the state is above 90% finished with soybeans. Sorghum harvest is now 88% complete compared to 54% 1 year ago and 73% normally. Winter wheat planting is 84% complete compared to 38% 1 year ago and 74% normally. 55% of wheat acres have emerged compared to 41% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was rated as 8% poor, 34% fair, 49% good, and 9% excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Minnesota farmers harvested almost one quarter of their corn acreage during the 5.3 days suitable for field work during the week. Although this was the fewest days suitable for field work in the last 4 weeks, harvest continued to advance rapidly. Corn harvest for grain was 81% complete, that's 12 days ahead of the previous year, and almost 1 week ahead of the 5-year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest was 16%. Soybean harvest was virtually complete, over 1 week ahead of average. 95% of the sunflower acreage has been harvested. That's 3 weeks ahead of last year and almost 3 weeks ahead of average. Pasture condition, rated 63% good to excellent. That's down slightly from the previous week. And some producers are moving cattle onto harvested cornfields. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Some parts of the state finally received some rain over the weekend, but it was not enough to impact harvest or improve drought conditions. Soybeans harvested was 91% complete, compared to 47% last year and 73% five-year average. Corn was 82% harvested this week, compared to 42% last year and 63% five-year average. Winter wheat was 86% planted, compared to 63% last year and 77% five-year average. Winter wheat was 57% emerged, compared to 34% last year and 41% five-year average. Winter wheat continues to emerge far ahead of last year and the five-year average. However, the drying soils have begun to affect the health of the crop. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their updates of the weekly crop progress and harvest conditions. Monday, the World Health Organization suggested it would be good to limit the amount of red and processed meat we consume. There's been quite a firestorm in the media, declaring red meat causes cancer. That's not actually what the WHO said in its press release. It actually classified the consumption of red meat as probably carcinogenic to humans, going on to point out that processed meats, things like ham and sausage or hot dogs and corned beef, if eaten every day, does increase the chance of getting colorectal cancer by 18%. Again, red meat, steaks, pork chops, and the like, probably carcinogenic. But the 800 studies reviewed were inconclusive as a whole. Processed meat, carcinogenic, but you'd need to eat about 2 ounces of it every day to increase your chance of getting cancer. So what does WHO mean by probably carcinogenic? Well, fortunately, the press release, which you can find online, has links to the classifications. Red meat falls into group 2A. The agent is probably carcinogenic to humans. Here's the definition verbatim. This category is used when there is limited evidence of carcinogenicity in humans and sufficient evidence of carcinogenicity in experimental animals. Limited evidence means that a positive association has been observed between exposure to the agent and cancer, but that other explanations for the observations, technically termed chance, bias, or confounding, could not be ruled out. Processed meats are in group 1. The agent is carcinogenic to humans. Again, here's the definition. This category is used when there is sufficient evidence of carcinogenicity in humans. In other words, there is convincing evidence that the agent causes cancer. The evaluation is usually based on epidemiological studies showing development of cancer in exposed humans. Agents can also be classified in Group 1 based on sufficient evidence of carcinogenicity in experimental animals, supported by strong evidence in exposed humans that the agent has effects that are important for cancer development. Well, WHO happens to put asbestos exposure and smoking tobacco into Group 1. However, the processed meat paperwork explains this does not mean these are all equally dangerous. The classifications describe the strength of the scientific evidence, what the research reports studied say, rather than assessing the risk. How dangerous is processed meat, then? WHO and the paperwork points to estimates by University of Washington's Global Burden of Disease Project. It's an independent academic research organization that attributes about 34,000 cancer deaths per year worldwide to diets high in processed meat. By comparison, the Center for Disease Control estimates 6 million people die from tobacco causes worldwide, 480,000 in the United States from smoking cigarettes. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This just in from Washington, D.C., and the members of the Agricultural Committees, both on the Senate and the House. It relates to the story that we were discussing with Wayne Nelson a bit earlier about crop insurance cuts and the budget. The members of Congress, they say, stand united against reopening the 2014 Farm Bill to further cuts emphasizing that the proposed cuts to crop insurance in the budget agreement would undermine a critical risk management tool for American agriculture producers and consumers. Farmers and ranchers have done more than their fair share to reduce government spending, says the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Pat Roberts. To target the number one priority for producers with additional cuts will undermine the delivery of this important protection for agriculture. While congressional leaders may sell this package as providing budget stability, it is anything but stable for farmers and ranchers. It took years to negotiate and pass the new farm bill. Producers have signed contracts and purchased policies. These proposals to make further cuts to crop insurance program were not included in the House and Senate passed budgets, in any appropriations bills, or in the president's budget request. Once again, the leaders are attempting to govern by backroom deals, says Chairman Roberts, where the devil is in the details, and he says he'll continue to any attempts to cut crop insurance funding or change crop insurance program policies and to oppose them. For his part, the House Ag Committee Chairman Mike Conaway says, make no mistake, this is not about saving money. It's about eliminating federal crop insurance. We'll keep you up to date on what the policies are like in Washington, D.C. as we move through the week and through the budget discussions. Now let's turn our attention to another issue. That's energies and the renewable fuel standard. We're joined from Kansas State Extension by Dan O'Brien. He's an agricultural economist. He joins us once a month. Thanks, Dan, for being with us. It's a busy week in policy here, and I guess you're going to take a look more at the energy sector for me, please.
Yes, thankfully, at this time, at least the RFS isn't on the table. We'd be having other issues to deal with there. But in terms of where the profitability prospects are for ethanol, it looks like during this month of October that we've got some disparate trends. At least so far in the month, we've seen distillers' grains prices weaken sharply. Corn prices move sideways a little bit higher, probably mainly on farmers refusing to sell at lower prices. And then ethanol market prices basically moving sideways. The net results as October that, at least so far, looks pretty much like September in terms of profitability. Basically a 5 to 7 cent per gallon loss for ethanol production. I think if anything's really the weakness in this thing, Todd, it would be that the distillers' grains side of the equation has weakened to a degree so far that it's taking, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 cents a gallon off of profitability, and that's the difference between losing 7 cents and breaking even. So, and of course, you and I try to follow also biodiesel profitability, and that's been been pretty much break even to a loss for since way back into the beginning of the fall of last year. So, one thing is noticeable in both of these, both with ethanol plant production and also in biodiesel. You can go back to, about March of 2014, look at the revenue that was coming into ethanol. It was about $3.50 a gallon. Well, here at this last number, we're down to about $1.81 in terms of ethanol revenue. And then, again, on top of that, we're losing about 7 cents. For biodiesel, we've just been on a long-term downtrend all the way since August of 2011, when revenue coming into that enterprise is about $5.60 a gallon. And here now we're getting down to we're below three and more like 2.75, something like that. So challenging times. I think so much is going to depend, of course, on the you've got the two big issues that we're dealing with, the corn market price. Again, we're probably going to stay low, but it seems that with large harvest,
we have to let you go.
I think that.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
It's American Beer Day. Beer is the world's oldest and most widely consumed alcoholic beverage, and it's the world's third most popular drink after water and tea. Some of mankind's earliest known writings refer to production and distribution of beer. The earliest Sumerian writings contain references to beer as early as the 5th millennium BC. On this day in agricultural history in 1811, Isaac Singer was born. An American inventor, he designed the first continuous stitch sewing machine. But one of his biggest inventions was a new way of marketing to consumers. He spent millions of dollars on advertising and made purchasing affordable by offering installment credit. In 1919, Congress overturned President Woodrow Wilson's veto of the Volstead Act, which ushered in prohibition. The act made it a crime to manufacture, sell, barter, transport, import, export, deliver, furnish, or possess any beverage containing over 0.5% alcohol. And in 1920, KDKA in Pittsburgh received a license from the U.S. Department of Commerce to broadcast. But their first radio show, Returns of the Harding Cox Election, did not occur till a week later. They had to wait for the license to arrive at the station. It was the first radio program to reach an audience of any size in the U.S. About 1,000 people tuned in. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don Day of Day Weather is here to take a look at the weather forecast. What a gorgeous fall it has been, and the fall here in the Midwest has produced some really vivid and beautiful colors in the trees. Do we know why that happens? I always thought it was related to cold weather, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, it's a little bit of cold, and it's a little bit of decreasing sunlight every day, and the trees recognize the shortening days and those longer nights, and that gets them to turn. I know a lot of times if it gets colder quicker, that can make things turn quicker, but it's been a beautiful fall. For most of the nation, Todd, the month of September and October, temperatures on average were above normal for almost all the lower 48 states. And we had to go back and find out when's the last time we've put a September and October together like that. It was so warm, and we found the year 63 into 1964, and you know what those years were?
No.
A strong El Nino year. And we see some correlation to what's happened in the past to what's happened this fall.
Ooh, did you look at the following year to see what happened?
Well, every year after El Nino is a little bit different, but it certainly got colder. So we should probably expect that in 2016.
It gets colder. There you go. We won't say anything about the rainfall and the precipitation, but it's a little cooler. Speaking of rainfall and precipitation, we've been warm, but now we're cool and wet. How long can we expect that to stay with us?
Well, we're going to be getting a little bit more of both. We're going to see a pretty good shot of cold air moving into the upper plain states and the upper Midwest tonight, and that's going to move south into the western and central Corn Belt for some colder weather and some shower activity here over the next couple of days. And while we don't see any really severe cold coming as we leave October and head into early November, we see a pretty active jet stream. And we see several systems traversing the United States, and that's going to keep precipitation chances pretty high.
And then turn your attention to South America. Tell me about the beginning of their planting season. Actually, they're pretty long ways into it, but I guess for Brazil, really getting a good start. I think around 20% planted now on soybeans, that the rain has begun to fall there.
It has, and there's more coming. What has been a dry start to their planting season has gotten more moist, and it does look like they're going to be in a period of weather here for the next 10 days. That is going to bring frequent opportunities for precipitation, especially Brazil, but you know what? Argentina, especially here in the short term, is going to get wet as well.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I just checked in with Jonathan Kappas, who's our ag policy specialist here on campus. He's headed to D.C., so we'll know more about what's been happening with that budget deal. It is a shock, he says, that crop insurance or even the farm bill as a whole might be opened up as part of the budget deal. We'll try to catch up with him tomorrow or maybe the next day. Stay with us on the Closing Market Report, our ag programming from willag.org for all the latest details. You can also find out more at farmassetsconference.com about our upcoming event. That's the 24th day of November, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. You can buy tickets. They're just $30 online or by phone and dial 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. I'm Todd Gleason.